So I'd like to remind you of ASTM and CS. All of the participants can only listen. After the initial presentation, you will have the opportunity of asking questions. And now the floor goes to Giuseppe Agugliati, investor relator of CS. Mr. Agugliati, please. Yes, good morning to all investors and journalists present here at this conference on the full year results 2017, ASTM CS. Journalists can only listen. Now, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Giuseppe Agugliati, investor relator of CS, and with Mr. Rubegna, CEO of STM, and Pierantoni, CEO of CS, and the financial director, Mr. Viviano, we will be illustrating the presentation that you have found on our websites, and then we will be available to answer your questions. So let's start off from the financial data that you find on page 5. Please focus your attention on the growth achieved by our companies, still preserving a very sound financial profile. We will start off by talking about CS. CS has an EBITDA, 704 million, growing by 7%. Net profit improves remarkably also, but not only for the effect connected to the sales of parking spaces, disposing assets, non-strategic assets for the company's growth, but achieving an interesting capital gain. We should underline also that for the CS group, the EBITDA increases more than proportionately vis-a-vis revenues, thanks to the efficiencies achieved. Faced with a cash generation, which is very important, the dividend per share increases, respecting the indications supplied during the presentation of the strategic plan in July 2017. All this having a leverage which is inferior 2 times for our listed companies. If we pass on to the next slides, we can clearly see the growth trend, as you can see, on all of the various economic components, despite the highway traffic is distant from the peak achieved in 2007. The margins, improvement in margins, is due to the focus on efficiencies, thanks to the management of the group. On page 8 and 9, you find our representation of our stocks. I will not dwell on these, whilst I would like you to look at page 10 to see how our Milan-Turin A4 has confirmed its leading role in the portfolio of the group's concession, showing a growth in EBITDA, which is the most relevant one. On the next page, you find the trend of the traffic performance with the recovery dynamics envisaged by our estimates at 2021-2022, still preserving a prudential growth estimate for 2018 equal to 1.3%, which for us is the basic scenario for the year, which is currently underway. If we go to slide 12, you see the CAPEX plan on the basis of the approved financial plans envisages investments for 2018-2021 for 1,236 million, considering the cross-financing on A4 Asti Cuneo. On the next slide, you can see the structure of CS's debt and the pro forma. You see the ratio between the issuer's debt and the group debt, which is practically at 77% after the issuance of the last bond, 550 million, with 2021 deadline and the coupon, which is indicated here. I also like to show you that Moody's and Fitch have confirmed their positive judgment on the CS group. Still for debt, in the next slides, we show the linear profile. Here you see the limited dependence from the banking system. Pro forma has a maximum of 6 years and 80% at a fixed rate. The average cost of CS's debt is therefore positioned after the issuance that I mentioned before, slightly below 3%. Ecorodovias, page 17, you find the group structure that you're all familiar with, and we have seen, we have included also the concessions over the period. So the 150 kilometers awarded take the total network to 2,640 kilometers. We go on to page 19. You have here a proof of how attention to costs has led to excellent results in Brazil too, supported by a dynamic of traffic recovery for 2017. Finally, for EcoRodovias, we'd like to underline that the last three concessions acquired have taken to an extension of 4 years in duration, 17 years and 5 months. Now, obviously, we are working to also obtain extensions of the concessions which are about to expire.
Let me now focus on constructions. These are itinerary numbers. With 2017, we have completed the turnaround process. 2018 will experience a major growth of revenues thanks to the capacity of getting contracts on foreign markets. The backlog amount abroad is higher than the Italian one. So as a result, now please note that the itinerary growth is very much instrumental to the creation of a one company where itinerary will play the P&C role, which is key for the competitive edge on green fields. Let me now move on to chapter four, strategic plan update, which we have delivered last July. It is key for us to provide to the market an indication, a sign of what we have achieved so far according to the strategic plan. So page 25. Now, this is what has been decided and resolved so far, starting from a growth and geographic diversification. Point one, item one is the stabilization of the regulatory framework with the full recovery of the lack of tariffs in the previous year. Then cross-financing, standing second. Talking about growth, the share swap with Banca Intesa on the external tangenziale tranche and Brebeni has highlighted a major growth opportunity with a duration to 2065. Well, assumptions. International revenues will move from 27% on to 70% in 2018. And we have started to see opportunities on the P3 market of the United States. So the early signs of interest will take place earlier on, we believe. Let me go back to the Italian situation. Finally, Autovia Padana is now part of our consolidation scope as of March the 1st. And after 9 months signing the concession of the MIT, the concession has been passed over to our group to prove how complex the bidding process is and then the transfer of the asset from one to the other concession company. The second pillar on page 26, the efficiency, streamlining, simplification, and synergies. The CS Group has obtained from MIT the approval of the Torino-Savona and Autostrada dei Fiori merger and CISA and SALT as well. Construction, ABC has been merged into Itinera. We have sold the businesses, dismissed businesses like parking places, participation in Ferrovia Nord Milano, and logistics in Brazil. They have been dismissed. We have continued the rationalization of the cost basis with implementation of savings for 86 million all along the entire life of concessions. Another 100 million euros have been put under analysis. Strategic partnerships, and this is item three. MIT has provided and delivered authorization for the cession of 49% of Autovia Padana. We're now exploring industrial and financial partners in the US P3 scheme. Final pillar by importance is the growth of shareholders' remuneration, moving very much in line or outperforming the strategic plan assumptions. Now, financial manager and our CEO will talk about the outlook for 2018, and then we'll get back to your questions. Good morning, Stefano Viviano. Good morning to all of you. This year, with a view to improving again the results and the look of the group out to the market, we have decided for the first time to provide an outlook on 2018 for the first time. Now, this should be help to you all to provide a better assessment and evaluation on our companies. Expected revenues now, please do consider that they are not consolidated but aggregated. ASTM will grow another, you know, between 25 and 30%. That is the range of growth expected. Part of this growth will be related and connected to the growth of revenues originated from construction in Italy as well as in the United States with ALMA. CS now. The growth will stay quite conservative, between 5 and 8%. Regarding EBITDA, EBITDA will grow between 5 and 7% for the ASTM group and 4 and 6% in the case of CS. Now, please do allow for the fact that these growth rates are net of the holding costs, which this year accounted for 9 million and cannot be estimated easily, but should be, you know, considered next year. The other thing is that with this kind of growth, the leverage will remain basically the same, unchanged, and still below 1.9 times. So we're now ready for the Q&A session and your questions or any clarifications. So please, you know, let's get into this stage. The operator is now starting the Q&A session, as the first question comes from Enrico Bartoli from Mainfer. Good morning. I have a few questions. First, on the regulatory framework, can we have an update on the status of the approval of cost financing of the Torino-Milano-Asti-Cuneo toll road, or do you expect any risk for approval following the recent political developments and facts? Again, second question, you have announced that you have been signing the financial plans and schemes for the regulatory current period on a few concessions. If I'm correct, the next regulatory period will start in 2019. What is the level of visibility that you have? What is the level of risk, would you say, you know, there is for the approval for the upcoming financial plans? The third question is on results. Can you, you know, show the impact of synergies, of costs of OPEX, of CS in 2017? And can you elaborate, please, the outlook, what you are doing, the actions for 2018. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd like to answer your first two questions. First is the regulatory framework for cross-financing Asti Cuneo. On this, we are only practically waiting for the formalization of the European decision that we believe should be arriving in the days subsequent to Easter, immediately following Easter, because all of the procedures times are now completed. And the agreement has been reached between the national government and the European Commission. And so it's just a matter of, you know, overcoming this formal phase of publication of the decision. We see no risks. We don't even see risks, as you were asking, with respect to the political picture that will, you know, unfold itself in the next few weeks in Italy, because the European decision, I mean, because it's practically it's a decision, it's a procedure that's been started by the previous government, so it's a mandate process that's started. It is then completed with the publication on the European Gazette, and then subsequently the rules of the game are practically those, because in Italy, Italy has asked the European Union to, you know, to express its decision on this, and it will express itself, and we shall stick to what will be expressed. So we're just waiting for the formalization to be completed. For the rest of the regulatory framework, we believe that the fact that in September of last year, the additional acts have been signed for the period with the CIPE, obviously, a resolution of this autumn. Together with this, finally, they have given stability to the regulatory framework, which has always been stable, by the way, and also to its implementation. And from the signs that we are receiving now, the intention is there to get to the approvals for the subsequent regulatory period, timely, within, obviously, the times included in the cheaper resolutions that say that we need to approve plans and the update of the five-year plans by June of the following year to the deadline. And the ministry has given us practically a reassurance of the fact that it wants to stick to these dates, because at this point, frankly, we don't see any impediments in this respect. On the other questions, my name is Viviane, for the question on synergies. This year, at the level of the income statement, we have gross synergies vis-à-vis the deadline 2016, which exceed 10 million euro, about 12. 4 million derive practically from the financial part, and 8 instead derive from the operational part. They are net with respect to the balance sheet data that on certain items may show increases. For instance, cost of staff, of personnel, where you already have posted the values connected to the incentives that have been awarded. So the effects on that specific item will start only from the current year. We have also said that the savings on the concessions is 86 million euros, so the dividend for the average life of the concessions of our group, you will see what the annual savings will be like vis-à-vis the 2016 deadline. We have already identified, or we're about to analyze, and a part have already been analyzed, about 100 million of further savings for life at net value. And a part of these, indicatively, another 10 million will be coming from financial charges, and instead the rest goes to operational efficiencies. Cost of debt has been reduced at the end of the year. It was about 3.28%. Following the new operation of bond issuance, the cost of debt has been decreased by another 30 basis points, and we shall be seeing the effects here too over the next few years. Compared to 2016, the balance sheet has 15 million less financial charges. Half of them come from the debt reduction, basically, in particular by the reimbursement in June of last year of the convertible, and the rest derives instead from the efficiencies to a large extent and also from the rates. Movement, the fluctuation of rates. Next question by Roberto Letizia Equitasim. Yes, good morning. I wanted to focus your attention on Ecorodovias for one moment and to talk about one of the negative components of its performance, which is obviously the stock one. I'm not referring to the performance for hypothesis of a capital increase for the expansion of the group. Can you confirm that currently, for the concessions that have been awarded, Ecorodovias does not need a capital increase, that this assumption only applies if the company has other networks in the next tenders? Only in this case, talking about the reorganization of the company, apart from the steps that have already been finalized, you have indicated in your presentation, what should we expect as far as the asset swap is concerned if the construction of ACM of the Cordovia Sincias? Can you give us an update of, how things are going in this respect? What time horizon should we expect to see on this, and what modality, and also the evolution of the traffic in the first quarter, both for Italy and for abroad, And then also a comment on the evolution of the margins of Itinera that has decreased. The EBITDA margin of the group has dropped in 2017. I wanted to underline what this means and what level of EBITDA margin we should instead be expecting for the next two or three years. So maybe you can give us a follow-up on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Rubini. As far as the capital increase is concerned of Recordovia, so for those which are the concessions that we currently have, that we have awarded, there's no need for a capital increase. BR-135 has spread over the 30 years all of the various acquisition charges. As far as the Nord, it's been passed on to 2019 at the start of the concession because of delays of the constructor in delivering the works, and we don't see practically any problems at the level of the debt. So evidently, a big round of new concessions will be starting from 2019. And here, obviously, it depends on what type of concessions there will be. If there will be greenfield concessions, and here the initial capital probably can be supported for another concession to the, obviously, the capital structure. Obviously, if the group will still want to increase its presence in Brazil, then at that point we will have to study, obviously, various forms of capitalization for the company. But with a concession in the portfolio and also with the extensions that we are negotiating, for the time being, there's no need for a capital increase. You need to consider that we are also considering logistics, and we believe that in 2019 we might dispose of Ecoporto, where we're going towards a negotiation practically of the current concession. As far as the question concerning contacts with the Almeida family, we have already communicated in Brazil what the situation is like currently. We have a co-control situation. We find ourselves in a situation with our shareholders. Our strategic plan envisaged at 2021, so in about 3-4 years, practically, the possible consolidation in the accounts for the stake. So we don't have all of this growth. We are now assessing what the market situation is like, even if we've seen that for 2019. The estimate is a growth of GDP of 3%, which means that traffic could increase remarkably, and inflation should go down by 25-50, and also the cost of debt could be decreased by 25-50 basis points. And so this could have the whole situation of the company improve.
Regarding margins, the idea is to exit the Italian market. This is a market which has negative margins. So Itinera has done a great job to become more globalized. And if we compare the EBITDA of Itinera with the American one, they are all around 5 to 6%. They run at this level. But whether you compare this to North European situations and Americans, and you look at the financial situation that they have, Itinera has a 20 million debt, for instance, after acquiring Almar, making this a major financial effort. We believe that Itinera should act as a vehicle. You only create value on the green field, and also the major key global players are very much heading towards these goals, having PMC or these contracts. So the importance is, being present on the north of Europe, Norway, concessions are coming out. They should be industrially commercial, and also in the United States, so that, as Agogliati was saying, to have one company, thus maximizing, leveraging the profit of the concession companies and constructors as well. These things, the numbers of the companies need to be carefully investigated in terms of EBITDA results, but also very much proportional to the net financial position. So Itinere, we wouldn't want their debt to go up. Itinere should be present on the market. Itinere should get as a company that can work on the market and be competitive is one of the pillars for the growth of greenfield concessions. So it should be competitive with a leading edge. We are not obviously underestimating outstanding results. In the United States, the company is doing great. The company that we have acquired is doing great, really competing, you know, on certain projects. There are no problems there. I don't remember if there was traffic. There was another question on traffic. Well, the evolution of traffic in Italy is very positive. In Brazil, we are seeing the beginnings. Things seem to improve. There was a time in February which was, you know, not really outstanding, but things should stay improve. And for 2018 in Brazil, what is recovering very much is traffic. Just like in Italy, industrial traffic is recovering. There is where we see major improvements in Italy as well as in other countries. We have heavy traffic, main values relative to what happened in 2016 and 2017. In the first 2 months, we have seen an improvement of heavy traffic by 4.5%. This is quite promising. It means that the economy is improving in the northwest part of the country with major you know, growth of heavy traffic. In Brazil, we expect a 2.5% growth rate. These are the expected numbers. What about also light traffic for the first 2 months in Italy? Well, yes, we have all of the numbers. The light traffic has been down by 0.9%. But when you add the heavy weights with the lightweight traffic, the heavy weight being much higher, all in all, the overall increase is 2.5%. The lightweight traffic has been suffering from the fact that in January and February we have had those major snowfalls, heavy snowfalls, blocking for a number of days certain traffic areas that had a major impact. But together, they were up 2.7% over the corresponding and similar period of last year, despite the very bad weather conditions. 2-3% is a highly conservative number. We believe that, you know, more can be done.
Another question, please. In the previous results, we had the perception that in depreciation and amortization item, we had €40 million of non-recurring write-downs for A21. Is it still so? I mean, the profit of the EBIT in reality is negatively impacted by this non-recurring component. Yes, it's still like this with a specification. It's no longer depreciation but amortization practically. So the 40 million still have an impact on the result but or throughout the year. And so basically throughout the year. And so they go as amortization. So you have a delta of about 320 million. And please consider a very important factor, that is that next year, and here we already have a first effect of efficiency connected to the management of A21, the fact that there will be no amortization, that this year we've only taken for the end of 2017 for 6 months only. Instead, it will no longer be present in 2018, and this will mean that this delta between EBIT and EBITDA will go down to about 270 million, bearing in mind also the amortization for 1012 of Autovia Padane. The next question is by Matteo Radaelli from Hammer Partner, please.
Yes, good morning. The financial structure, please. I was wondering if you consider the current level of net debt over EBITDA optimal, and in case if you are thinking that this may be increased in the next few years, and also if you think that you will be making new extraordinary investments. Can you give us an idea what areas you consider optimal, or if you're studying maybe the payment of an extraordinary dividend?
Well, first of all, we will always try to carry out more and more efficiencies from the point of view of financial charges. This is a fact. This has already been scheduled and planned. It's already in a contract, important ones that will have an effect on the income statement and already from next year. From the point of view of the financial structure, we think that the financial structure is optimal. It's very conservative, a strategic plan that the market knows about that has as a target the 2.4 times EBITDA at 2021. So the guidance for the next year is absolutely in line with the current levels. Now, clearly, the 2.4 from the strategic, on the strategic plan also considers the aggregation of the aggregated numbers of also of Ecorodovias plus what we had, two initiatives that we had explained last year. One is a small one, one is a medium-sized one in the U.S., so where basically we have present a debt, but not yet an EBITDA. So this also included an assumption of a bid at starting from 2020, sorry. So the relative and relative EBITDA and the relative indebtedness connected to this. Okay, thank you very much.
I'd like to remind you that if you want to ask a further question, you can enter star followed by one on your phone. The next question is a follow-up by Roberto Letizia from Equita SIM.
Yes, sorry, just a follow-up question. The dividend of this year, considering that the profit is very high, is very good, means a payout which is practically very low. We're talking about 35% payout on the 2017 profits. So the outlook on profits for next year seems to be very positive, because if I see the growth of EBITDA that you have given us, the estimate with the reduction of financial charges and above all the reduction in depreciation that you have just mentioned, we're talking about 50 million less depreciation only, the level of profit for next year will be once again very, very good. So is there room to increase dividends apart from the preliminary indications that you have given us so as to have a higher level of payout, which is a bit more attractive for investors? And in this respect, also the very last question, what is the level of expected tax rate for next year, considering the 25% of this year?
Thank you very much, Roberto, for your question. Stefano, the payout, if we're thinking in terms of CS, the payout can be considered at 40% for this year, net of the extraordinary items, so basically the capital gains from the disposals of parkings and Ferrovia Nord Milano. At the level of the ASTM, it's 30%, as you were saying. The growth, I would dwell, first of all, on the very important growth for the dividend per share. For every individual share, it's grown by more than 9% at the level of CS and by more than 4% at the level of ASTM. Here, too, we have a target disclosed to the market, because 7% of CAGR 2017-2021, which is the one present in the strategic plan, I mean, we are flexible, as you can see, in the sense that this year, too, we have increased at the level of CS, where we have the availability also of a result for the SPA, so as to increase also beyond the value of the CAGR for 2021. So from 7 to 10% on ASTM, we have had to stay at a 4%. Because of the, we have distributed basically 100% of the result of the holding ASTM SPA. We
we don't have a formal statement on the payout objective for the holdings, for the concessionary companies. We have it, and it's 80% for every individual concession company. And CSNS and ASTM have always stayed around a 40-45%. And we believe this to be a minimum, but, you know, a consistent level, even for the future. Yes, the tax rate, please, for the tax rate. Yes, as far as the tax rate is concerned, last year it was 27%. This year, you know that it's been lowered. The IRES has been lowered, so it's gone down to 24. The actual tax rate last year was 28%. With an IRES 27. Today, this year, it's 21% with an IRES, which is instead 24%. So it benefits from all of the results that have been achieved. 21% IRES. Thank you. Yes, perfect. At the moment, there are no further questions that have been booked. So we'd like to thank you all very much for your presence here. See you soon and have a nice day. Thank you very much. We're obviously very happy. We would be happy to, you know, to answer further questions through email or on a one-to-one basis. Thank you very much.